This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman, along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. A mostly favorable mix of rain and sunshine is expected for the northern plains over the next week to 10 days. World Weather Incorporated says rains will continue to help topsoil moisture. There is a chance for showers and thunderstorms daily through next Thursday, with a similar rainfall pattern likely to continue into the second week of June. Daytime temperatures will climb into the 80s most days.
Midwest this summer. Weather Incorporated senior ag meteorologist Drew Lerner says the long-term outlook for the summer could be positive for farmers.
Well, the forecast for the rest of the summer is going to be rather varied across the region, but in a good way, I think. We should see a sufficient mix of weather across the region, and that will bring us periods of rain and also periods of dry, biased conditions. We'll have some periods where it's going to be warmer than normal. We're going to have some cooler than usual conditions. So it's really not a bad scenario that's shaping up. And as we go forward through these next several weeks, things will balance out okay.
Lerner says the scattered rain could leave some areas drier than normal during the growing season.
There's a couple of big ifs out there, though, and I don't want to totally sign off on the good conditions, because we do have a ridge of high pressure that's floating around across North America. And as we continue to watch this ridge of high pressure, there's potential that it could settle into one particular area, and then that area would obviously be subjected to a drier and warmer scenario. As of this point in time, it does appear that the high-pressure system will be weak, and that will allow for weather systems to come and go through the region, as I described previously.
Crops near the Rothsay, Minnesota area are looking great, but Bruce Brendan says moisture is starting to run low.
Well, everything is growing or trying to pop out of the ground, but it's dry. We could use some rain. Right here in the Rothsay area, it's kind of skirted us. You know, if they go too far away and they had 3/4 of an inch or an inch, been pretty, other than maybe a tenth we got the other night, beginning of the week or whatever, that's about it. I mean, we've been watching the clouds. The other night, let's see, what night was it? Tuesday night, was thundering, it was dark, the clouds come over, the temperature dropped 15, 20 degrees, and nothing happened.
Brendan says corn is moving right along, and he's now checking on his more recently planted soybeans.
Yeah, the cornfields look fantastic. They're all poking out, and we just finished beans on last Sunday. I was going to drive around and take a peek today, see how things are looking. Some of them could have ended up in a little bit of dry dirt, but we were setting them on in moisture. So,
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says drought conditions are heading in opposite directions from one end of the country to the other.
As of May 30th, we now see coverage of D0 to D4 increasing to 50.05%, just over half of the country, either abnormally dry or in drought. That is up more than 4 percentage points from the beginning of May, when we had 45.9% dryness and drought coverage. So we seem to be heading two different directions. If you're from the Great Plains westward, continued improvement. But for the Midwest and Northeast, we have considerable dryness that's developed and even a few patches of drought. So a couple of trends that we continue to carefully watch, with the improvement, western half of the country developing dryness as you move further to the east.
Extreme to exceptional drought continues across the southern plains.
The number one state for continuing high-end drought coverage, D3 to D4, is Kansas, showing 57% of the state covered by extreme to exceptional drought on May 30th. That continues to be reflected in rangeland and pasture conditions, which are more than half very poor to poor. And also, we've seen that reflected in the winter wheat health, which more than two-thirds of the winter wheat currently rated in very poor to poor shape. So that remains the epicenter of that longer-term drought, where we haven't seen complete recovery from a multi-year drought that's been affecting that region.
Global Commodities Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo doesn't think traders are chasing weather going into the weekend.
probably not trading weather. The beans have the bid here. We took that bean corn ratio down to the lowest point in new crop since October 22. Weekly export sales for meal were pretty decent. And then the soybean oil is finding support from the crude oil. And I throw one other thing on there that's giving, I think, the beans the look of the double-digit gains, and that is the Brazilian export numbers for May were better than May 2022 from China going into China. I think that was a big surprise to the trade. It was a surprise to me, given that I'm hearing they're still liquidating hogs.
Chinese demand will ultimately dictate price direction.
And I think that weak demand perception has been also, you know, pushed into a higher gear thanks to the debt ceiling debate. Now that's over with. I think the key remains the wheat market turning around, and I'm hearing more and more clients in east of the Mississippi River in soft red wheat country telling me they're losing yield by the day at this point, given the hot, dry conditions. And I think that's key. Monday, I think, will be a big, big day from a standpoint of maybe the weather turning back towards the top end of the priority list for traders if those Monday afternoon crop conditions start to sink, especially in the corn market.
Well, the grain market is seeing firmness from traders correcting their oversold positions. AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says the livestock markets are being supported by strong cash markets.
I don't know how much further that the hog market can go because I'm looking at another low here. We still, when you look at the cold storage report, we got ample stocks of hogs are above a year ago, but they're less than a year ago here for cattle, which is giving the cattle a little bit of strength. The question comes is, you know, we're looking at the cattle prices up here at such high levels. How much longer is it going to be until the consumer just backs away?
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. According to a Reuters report, Ukraine's prime minister says the country would continue to export grain across the Black Sea as part of a plan B without Russia backing if the current grain export deal collapses. The prime minister says Ukraine could offer insurance guarantees for companies to continue shipping without Russia's involvement in a new deal.
Minnesota Representative Michelle Fischbach was among 63 representatives that sent a letter to U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai regarding the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. House members are calling on Tai to hold Mexico accountable for its commitments and address Mexico's ban on U.S. biotech corn. The 30-day period for consultations has ended with Mexico, with no changes being made.
The 96th North Dakota State FFA Convention starts next week. North Dakota FFA Association State Advisor Nikki Fiddledy-Dahl expects over 1,300 visitors and members to be there. The honorary degree ceremony will kick off convention on Monday.
Each year, our North Dakota FFA Board of Directors puts forth names for approval to receive the honorary degree. And these recipients are people who have given back to our organization selflessly. And so this year we're excited to celebrate them on Monday of convention. And those recipients are Dave Franzen, Linnell Bachmeyer, Isaac Sondrel, Galen and Bonnie Dresky, Mark Hovland, and Nikki Fiddledy-Dahl.
Fiddledy-Dahl says FFA convention boasts more than just competitions for students.
Our team with North Dakota FFA Association and Foundation work really hard to provide lots of opportunities for our students, not just in a competitive level, but also places to learn and grow and to that, you know, personal growth that, you know, we're proud of in FFA. And there's a few ways that they can do that. This year we've partnered with NDSU Academic Affairs, and they will be offering academic sessions where students can get together with faculty and advisors and learn more about NDSU and the programs that NDSU offers.
Some areas growing pulse crops are seeing excess moisture and heat, while others are seeing excess wind. NDSU Extension plant pathologist Audrey Kalile says if you are having issues, variety selection can save yield and make harvest easier in the future.
Different varieties might have a lodging score, and that's something to look for because when the crop lies down, one, the canopy gets really wet and humid, and that can facilitate the spread of foliar diseases like white mold or ascochyta blight. And also it's just really hard to harvest the crop when it's lying down on the ground.
Disease is hard to control once you see damage.
And unfortunately, our fungicides are all preventative. And so once you see a lot of disease at that point, you've already sacrificed yield. And so it can be difficult to make a spray decision, and having genetic resistance to powdery mildew just prevents that from being a problem to begin with. And so I would recommend prioritizing varieties that are upright and also have resistance to powdery mildew.
Women involved in the cattle industry are invited to the next event in the Minnesota Cattle Women's 360 Series that will take place June 10th in Ten Strike, Minnesota. Minnesota Cattle Women President Michelle Mauser says this series is meant to take a deep dive into different aspects of the cattle industry.
The goal is to place cattle women right at the hub of the wheel and just pivot around on every topic in the beef industry and take each event and just focus in on one topic rather than, you know, when we go to seminars and different things or workshops, we hear, you know, 5 to 10 different topics and breakout sessions, and you come home with these little snippets. And so we really just want to zero in on one topic, develop it fully so that we're equipped to actually put that knowledge into practice.
This month's event will look at mineral nutrition and cover why it's an important focus for all cattle producers.
This team of three from ZinPro are coming and spending a day all on minerals, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. You know, we focus so much on feed and nutrition as far as, you know, our protein and our dry matter and all that kind of stuff. But our minerals are the building blocks. So if our animals don't have zinc, their cells, you know, don't repair themselves and increase cell growth. And if we're low on selenium, that we can weaken the corneas of their eyes and put them at risk for pink eye, no matter if you're a cow-calf producer, a backgrounder, or a feeder, all of us.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Jeff Beach. Jeff, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
We took a trip down to central Minnesota, to Pope County, and the Clear Springs Cattle Company, which explained how the springs that naturally appear on their farmstead or their ranch benefit the ranch, reducing labor and costs, but also benefiting the health of the cows that they produce. Having fresh water, and it's not all water that comes from springs is necessarily great water. You should have your, you know, a well tested or a spring tested if you have one on your property before you decide to use it for watering livestock. But they've found that you know, the healthy water that they have on their farm actually improves the health of just not just the cows, but the calves that are in utero before they're born. There are health benefits to those calves.
And they're able to use that as a marketing tool.
Yep, that so when they have their bull sale and those kinds of things, they can talk about those health benefits that they have. The ranch also has kind of a lot of diverse aspects to it. They've got a vacation rental on their property that they let people stay at and check out the cows and the scenic views that they have down there. And then they also market their own beef under their own label. A lot of it's sold right there on the farm to people who are having a stay at the vacation rental.
Well, Jeff, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Thanks for listening. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.